Hi guys, got a very special podcast for you today because a few weeks ago I did this story. I got to get these press releases and stuff like that. And I got the press release from the Women's World Car of the Year Awards, and they announced a new jury member. And the new jury member was obviously they were women journalists, women car journalists, and it was somebody from Pakistan. And I was like, a female car journalist in Pakistan. Now, I actually know quite a lot of the people in Pakistan. I know a lot of the car culture, their car community, and I know the guys from Park Wheels as well. So I was like, who could that be? What's this about? So I took the press release. I actually did run it as a story. And then I got in touch with her. Her name is Faria Aftab. And I said to her, hey, I would love to know your story, particularly in a place like that. How did you come to be the first female automotive journalist in Pakistan? So here she is, and I hope you enjoy this episode as much as I did talking to her. A brown car guy. Brown car guy. Hi Faria, how are you doing? Good to meet you. Tell me, is it fair to say that you are the first woman motoring journalist in Pakistan?
Hi Shehzad, it has been a pleasure meeting you here, and yes, I'm so happy to announce that I am the first motoring journalist of Pakistan.
Wow, a female motoring journalist, that's incredible. I mean, so tell us a little bit about yourself, tell us about your journey, because I mean, actually before we do that, I was just going to put this into context for those people that may not be familiar. I mean, Pakistanian is a very patriarchal society, isn't it? It's very male-dominated.
It's a very male-dominated society, and especially this automotive niche, the car niche, it's all male-dominated. There are very, very few people, there are very few girls studying the automotive subject, and I guess lesser than fewer that who are using this as a career.
Yeah, yeah. But you actually started it as a career, right?
Yes, I started it as a career. I was working in an automotive manufacturing company as an assistant manager projects. So I was all into automotive since the beginning of my career. I was into installing of assembly lines, all the technical stuff, all the engineering stuff, assembly line balancing, and things like I used to use the PTED. I was in charge of PTED, the pre-treatment and electron deposition, the paint department of the car. I was in the FAW Al-Haj FAW company, which was a Chinese manufacturing automobile company.
And is it something that you studied? Did you study engineering?
Yes, I studied engineering, and in the later years, in the third and fourth year, we studied automotive engineering, about gears, all the technical stuff about plant engineering, and all the assembly line balancing, the gears, the shafts, the pumps, the pulleys, everything in the making of the car and the execution of a car.
You know, I didn't even know that such a course existed in Pakistan. Is that quite popular?
Yes, it is popular, but it is popular with boys, with males, not with female. I remember that in my class, it was a batch of around 73 students, and there were only 5 girls in that.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So why did you go down that line? I mean, like you say, it was such a rare choice, you know, for girls, you know, for women to go into that. Why did you decide to go down that route?
Actually, I was forced, and I was by my parents. I was continuously told from the beginning that you have to do medical and medical and medical because medical is just the perfect field for a girl, and here in Pakistan is just the most dominating one for a woman. But
that's
I was persistent that no, I am going to do engineering. But then when I joined engineering, my...
Where did that come from? Where did that desire, that instinct come from?
Engineering, I was always into breaking cars from the beginning when I was a kid. I was just so much into aeroplanes. I used to break aeroplanes, then reconstruct them and find out the inside small magnets there were in the aeroplanes and helicopters. I used to just put them out and play with them. So I was into technical stuff from the beginning.
Yeah, you'll be pleased to know I used to do the same thing. I used to take remote control cars apart, play with the motors and the batteries and stuff like that. But, so, I mean, like, really, so one of the questions that I get asked, you know, is that where did it come from? Where did the interest come from? So, and you've just said that you were interested in, you know, aeronautical stuff and automotive stuff from a very young age. Where did that come from?
I don't know that where did it come from, because I was naturally inclined towards this technical stuff. In fact, when I was doing my intermediate, so during 11th and 12th class, I continuously watched that YouTube series called Supercars.
All right.
Mega build and mega factories, in which they used to take to the supercar factories, Ferrari factory, Bugatti, and Porsche. So I had a USB storage in which I had a collection of that video. So I used to rewatch them with my friends, with usually my male friends, because female friends were not interested in doing it.
And what did they make of you? Did they think, oh, you're a bit odd? Or did they welcome the fact that you were interested in the similar things that they were?
No, they were genuine friends. I would call you them. They actually, at that time, I remember that I did not have that provision of internet at my home. So one of my friend got that USB filled with these videos, and he just brought it for me. And I used to watch it on my desktop
CPU. What was his name?
Computer. His name was Sean.
All right, shout out to Sean there if you're watching. Well done, you. Nice one.
He is working in an automotive company right now, Hinopak.
All right. Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
So that's quite nice to hear that you were actually, you know, you weren't shunned, or you weren't, you know, you were actually encouraged and you were sort of embraced by the people that were doing this stuff.
Yes, I was encouraged. In fact, my father also used to encourage me with all these stuff, that if you like to do engineering, if you want to pursue your career in engineering, we are all with you. But my mother was not at all in favor of me doing engineering.
Why do you think that was?
She was a traditional kind of woman. She is a traditional kind of woman with a traditional mindset that what are you going to do in engineering?
Yeah.
What a girl can do in engineering. In fact, when I came in my university, we had different kind of projects, like carpenting projects, soldering projects, machining, and all these kind of projects. When I used to bring that work samples at home, they said, are you going to do this in your career? Are you going to deal with iron, deal with carpentry projects? What have you chosen, and this and that? I used to listen at all.
So, I mean, again, it's interesting to try and understand, like, where did you get that bug from, and how were you sort of, you know, what did you, do you have brothers or do you have sisters?
No, tell me, I have only one sister. So she's in pharmacy. And,
right. So she went down the sort of medical field. Then.
Yes, she took a medical field.
Right. So, and do you have sort of male cousins and stuff who were into cars or?
Yes, I had quite many male friends in my family, and all of them are majority in engineering. Some of them were mechanical engineers, some of them are civil engineers, electrical, petroleum, in all domains.
So you come from that sort of family background and stuff, I guess, a little bit.
Yes, but even those male engineers, family members were not in favor of me doing mechanical engineering, as I'm an industrial and manufacturing engineer. So my nearest cousin told me to take computer science engineering, because that is the most suitable job a girl get in a computer field, that she will sit at a computer and do a sophisticated job. So he forced me, but the time of choosing the field, I went with what my heart said.
Yeah, well done you. Does it annoy you when people try to pigeonhole women over there and they say, no, this is suitable for women and this is not suitable for women?
I guess I don't get annoyed with this. I think it is time that women should take decisions for their own. They should decide that what they do want to do and what they don't want to do. It is their life, and it is the time we should stop blaming males, that they are the one who are continuously saying us that we have to do this or we have to do that. We should be the dominating ones in our life, the decision makers, actually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Do you find that, you know, if women are in the position to make those decisions and to make those choices, do you think that the infrastructure is there, the facilities are there to enable them to pursue those passions and those careers?
The infrastructure is there. And you won't believe that there are people, there are good people and bad people in every field. So there are people who help and encourage women taking these fields, even encourage them in their job fields. Like I got extremely nice people, nice seniors who just encouraged me in my automotive career. Yes,
like
they're all men. They're all men. But they encouraged me and my friend, they encouraged me and we did what we wanted. So
that's amazing.
It depends.
And
yes.
And do you think that that you kind of, you know, the stuff that you are doing and the other people that you're sort of your age group did you think that they sort of pave the ground and encourage other people and inspire other women to also come in those same pathways?
Yes, they will come in the same pathway, but there is certain kind of mentorship which is needed in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Like when I became an automotive journalist, people knew that what is a journalist is, but the people did not know that what an automotive or a car journalist is.
Yeah.
So everyone was like, wow, you have done a great job. And everyone was praising me, but no one knew that what am I actually doing? And still they don't know. Even my family members don't know. Yes.
I can, you know what? I can completely relate to that, you know, because also it's a cultural thing, right?
Yes.
And even I had that, you know. I would say, you know, I'm senior age now, if you like, you know. But even till like, you could say 15, 20 years ago, people will still ask me things like, you know, so when are you going to get a serious job? You know what I mean? It's like, you know.
Exactly.
I've had that.
People ask me, even my mother-in-law asked me that, do you write on cars, about cars, on cars? What do you write about cars? I am not ready to explain.
Before we get into that, get into the specific niche and the specialist subject of automotive, I mean, let's just even touch on journalism, because like as I sort of mentioned there, even journalism wasn't necessarily taken seriously in Pakistan. Has that changed at all?
I don't know. I cannot relate about the previous years, but right now there's not any professional and official automotive journalism that is happening in Pakistan.
Yeah.
Like I see people, like I see you, I see the women globally working in WW Kotti, that they are doing real journalism. They are traveling from places to places, covering new models, new cars.
Mm-hmm.
This is not at all happening in Pakistan. The
yeah.
real reason is that new cars, new models do not release in Pakistan. They come after year, 2 years, 3 years in Pakistan, and then they are just reviewed like a walk around and this. There are no test drives happening in Pakistan, and people are not judging a car technically. So there's all superficial automotive journalism being going in Pakistan, and it really needs, because the automotive industry is good here, and if establishment and the government starts taking initiatives positively, it can grow. There is potential.
I mean, we'll come back to the industry itself, because that's another question. But when it comes to automotive journalism, so first of all, like, why did you make the shift from engineering into automotive journalism? How did that come about?
I was working as an engineer. Then I got married. When I got married, it was like I have the priority to my kids, to my family, to my husband. I cannot go to working as an engineer. As a site engineer, because I had a timing from 7 to 7 when I used to work. And a 12-hour time bracket is just so long for being a wife and a mother. So for me, I like handling things with my own hands, and I like growing up kids with my own focus. I don't like maids and people doing these kind of things for my kids. So I just left my job. I had two babies. I had two boys. Then I just started like, I have to do something for my own self. And I started writing. I started content writing. I started blogging. And just 3 to 4 months back, I decided why am I writing in all the fields that I'm not passionate about? Why shouldn't I do something like cars, which I'm passionate about? So I just took a risk and it came out positively by the grace of God. I can only say that.
Were there any other women doing any kind of blogging related in any way to cars at all?
Yes, there is a girl. Her name is Zainab, and she is in Pakistan, I guess in Lahore or Islamabad. I don't know the specific area. She is doing blogging. She is an engineer too, but I don't think that she is an automotive engineer. But she is doing, especially on EV bikes and things like this.
Oh, very good. Very good. And it might surprise people to know that also there are some female racers there as well, aren't they? They take part in the rallies and stuff, don't they?
Yes, there are women who are taking part in rallies, but they are not covered. They are not given any exposure. The thing is that they are not given any exposure. There are people that, even there are so many girls who are doing biking over here. The mindset is shifting, but it will take time.
Is this something that you would focus on now to sort of bring those women to the fore and to give them the coverage and the exposure that they should get?
Yes, I would really love to do it, but I have to beat so many challenges in doing so. Because women are not going out shooting videos and casting in and going to rallies doing these things. So I have to really fight a bit. I have plans for all of this stuff and for my future, but right now I have no proper, you know, lead or proper pathway on which I can go on in Pakistan.
Well, one of the things that you mentioned earlier, and in fact we probably should have started with this, but you know, one of the things I should congratulate you because you've now become a jury member on the Women World Car of the Year. How did that come about? I mean, that's how I discovered you, so that's already a great step that you did there.
Actually, I was discovered by WW Corti. I was not the one who approached them. I started writing on Medium. Medium is a blogging platform where I started writing car reviews. I wrote so many reviews over there just for my passion. So I just shared them occasionally on LinkedIn, and they got noticed on LinkedIn by the WW Corti, and they said that we have women from 50, from all the continents, and there are total 72 women here, but there's no one from Pakistan. So would you like to be a member? First, I thought that it's a scam. It might be a scam. How can I get the privilege that I'll be the jury and from Pakistan? And a title was just so enticing. I was like, no, it might be a scam. I waited for 2 days to reply that email to the head. Then I discussed it with my husband. He said, why are you delaying to reply to this email? You can reply to it, but it would be a scam. It would just vanish it out on itself. So I just went on and replied, and it just took around 1 month to get that on press. I was just so privileged.
I know, it's amazing. They're a great bunch of people. I know a few of them, so they are extraordinary women, but they're doing an incredible job.
And they bring such and they're so supportive, and I've just never seen people supporting a woman in automotive journalism like this, automotive field like this.
Yeah, it's great. But coming back to, you know, like you were mentioning, you said you did a lot of reviews on your blog, but at the same time, you said it's really difficult. So, for example, like just to put it into context for people, in the UK, for example, if I can go on a car launch, I could be invited on a car launch, I get to drive a car, I can review it, I can talk about it, I can get a car on test, I can review it, I can talk about it. I did the same thing in the Middle East. But in Pakistan, like you said, you don't really have that facility. So how are you managing this?
As far as Medium was concerned, Medium blogs were concerned, I was passionate to write about cars. So I was reading reviews from the internet and writing a point of view of my own, my opinion. But right now, when I got appointed at a web agency called Park Wheels in Pakistan, I am given opportunities where I get to review cars physically, and then I can write reviews on them. But
let's talk about Park Wheels, because Park Wheels obviously is, I guess, is the number one automotive media outlet in Pakistan. It's absolutely massive, you know, and they've done incredible work, you know. How did that come about?
I was the one who was cold pitching different people at LinkedIn.
Right.
So I just there is a section of at Park Meals that denotes right for us. So I just went there. I applied for a job, but there came no reply. So I just contacted the lead editors and just mentioned that I'm this, 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 and I have written and I'm sent my samples from Medium. So they just approached me, and I got lucky in that forum too because a boy who was working as a card review writer at Park Meals resigned due to his examinations, and they hired me instantly that we have an opening and we just need you. So it was pure luck.
And how have they treated you? How have they sort of embraced you, or are they a little bit wary of, oh my God, there's a woman reviewing cars, or how has it been?
Actually, there are women working in Park Peace too.
All right.
Yes, there are women. None of them are writing car reviews, but a few of them are writing car automotive news and these kind of car culture type of reviews. So I am the one. I'm the only one who's writing car reviews, and they embrace me very, very nicely. I am very thankful to them. As writing in an automotive agency or in a dedicated agency keeps you aware of the trends and ups and downs in media in worldwide. So
So paint us
it
a
has
picture. Like,
been.
what? How does it work? I mean, when you do the reviews there, how long do you have the car for? How far do you get to drive it? What's it like?
It is quite less that I get a car because actually the Park Meals headquarters is in Lahore, and I
Right.
live in
Yes. That's
Karachi.
right.
And
Yeah.
yes, I live in a different city, so it is it's just once or twice. I've just joined at Park Meals.
Yeah.
It has been only 1 month, so I only got a car once or twice so in Karachi. So I just reviewed it. I just got a time slot of 1 hour or 1.5 hour, and I just reviewed it and send it back and wrote a review and just published it on the website.
Yeah, it's quite a unique way. I mean, it's like I remember when I first started out back in 1989, and I was in Saudi Arabia, and I was the first motoring journalist there, you know. And they didn't have any infrastructure to give you cars or anything like that. So you'd go to a dealer and you'd ask for the test model, and sometimes you'd
Exactly.
have to go out with the salesman, you know, and just go for a drive, you know. And it would be like that, and that would be the only way to do it, you know. And I guess that, you know, this is the way that you have to keep pushing and pushing and make it so that the situation improves for automotive journalism. But
Actually, the key lies over there that you don't have to wait every time for the opportunities to reach to you. You should be the one sometime that you are going to reach the opportunities. You are going to pick the lead editors or the leaders in your industry and ask them for work. And we don't have to feel shame in asking for work.
No, it's extraordinary. I think you're absolutely right. I think you have to take the initiative. You know, I think that's absolutely the way to do it. So, how do you see things progressing now? I mean, now that you're doing this, is this like, you know, is this something that you're firmly committed to?
Yes, my family is absolutely committed to it, and they're actually quite encouraging. I just want to do one thing. My aim for now is that I want to do. I got an international exposure, but I want to get aware of the American market or the European market of car market, and I am inclined of writing about that market. I just want to write the way you people do. So I'm
But you
really
know, the
looking
thing
forward
is,
to that
look, I mean,
opportunity.
you know, you should absolutely acclimatize yourself with the global market, because that's important, you know, because it's
Yes,
important to know what's happening
because
everywhere in the
progression is
world.
important.
Yeah, because it puts things into context, and you can understand, you know, the developing trends, say EV trends in Europe and what's happening in America, and you know, so these things are quite important. But I think what's quite unique is the perspective of what's happening in places like Pakistan. You know, because like over here, when I tell people that, you know, I went to Pakistan and I met these classic car guys and I met this guy that wrote a book, and you know, people are like surprised. They're like, what? You know, this stuff is happening. So I think that, you know, that's another key area that I think would be great to focus on that, don't you think?
Yes, that is absolutely an area to focus. Even that you know, actually, that is all done on social media. You have to focus your time on social media, and you have to literally spend hours and hours on social media.
Yeah, tell
If
me
you
about
spend yes, if you spend seriously hours on social media, you are going to get opportunity. But you have to take time out of your daily schedule. It gets difficult for me, being a mother and a wife. It gets really difficult for me to take that time out. So I have allocated a time for my personal growth daily or weekly, in which I approach different people, I talk to them, I DM them. So things are changing, but it will take time.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it would be good to know more about how things are going. So tell us, in fact, tell us a little bit about the car industry there, because I remember the last time I was there, which was, when was that? That would have been, I think it was a year ago that I was there, or maybe it was summer. I can't remember now. No, it was a year ago. It was winter last year. That's right. Yeah.
I saw your
and
videos.
It looked like it was, sorry?
I saw a couple of videos of yours in which you, I guess it was a Wagoner or a car like this in which you...
Yeah, it was one of your colleagues. It was one of your colleagues in Park Wheels. He took me around in his car.
Oh, lovely guy. Okay.
Yeah. Lovely guy he is. And so I covered that, but I spoke to a few people at the time. And at that time, it was looking a bit pessimistic, you know, because of the currency fluctuations.
Still, I think that some of the position is the same. Production.
So what's happening now? How's it going now?
Actually, the inflation has badly hit the economy of Pakistan. So right now, the dealers, the automotive manufacturers are badly suffering. Like, there are 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 key players in Pakistan: Honda, Suzuki, Toyota, and right now Kia is performing quite well, Changan, and a new entry in the market is Hyundai. Audi is also playing a certain role, but only the luxury market. So right now the condition is very bad, because there are no current sales, because it has been extremely extreme. The prices have been raised, the surge extremely, and first the manufacturers were gone to a shutdown, then they reopened their manufacturer and the companies, then they offered different kind of deals to attract customers, but still the condition is not good.
What's the forecast? What do you reckon? Do you think things are going to get better?
For an year or so, that things are not going to get better.
Right.
Yes, because in the last, car is a luxury item. People are not going to need a car for their living. So, and especially actually the car market on which the automotive industry is focusing, it is not the right time to focus on those models. Like, if you see the automotive industry in Pakistan, different crossover models are being launched. Like, recently Hyundai Santa Fe launched, and Seres 3 was launched. And so this is not the right time to launch these crossover, these big models. They cost around 100 million and above. This is not the right time. This is the
I think just to put it into context for people that might be watching this or listening to this, there's a huge tax on cars there, isn't it, which makes them more expensive.
Yes, there is a huge car. In fact, automotive companies have launched different deals in which they are launching cars on zero interest plans, like Kia, Honda, and different companies are doing it. But still, the market has reverted back. But it is reverted around 25 to 26% only. So it will take a lot of time to go back on that 60 to 70% as it was previously.
You know, the rest of the world at the moment, especially here in Europe, is really moving towards, you know, zero emission vehicles, so electric vehicles and that sort of stuff. You know, when I was there, I remember that the concept of an electric car was launched there, but I don't know. I did do a subsequent interview with the guys behind it, but I don't know how that's progressed. Has there been any movement there in terms of a homegrown industry and also in terms of an electric vehicle industry?
Electric cars are coming to Pakistan. There are so many models which are recently launched, and hybrid models are also coming to Pakistan. But the thing is that there is a myth, a rumor, which is circulating in among the normal, ordinary consumer, that EV cars are not long lasting, they are expensive, their batteries are will take fortune to replace. So these kind of myths needs to be debunked. Secondly, first the government should focus on electric bikes more, than the cars, because they're easy to purchase electric bikes because they're less expensive and they have economical benefits, environmental benefits more than electric cars right now. Because we have so many bikes, we have millions of bikes in the city. So replacing bikes would benefit more than replacing cars.
That makes a lot of sense, actually. I think you're absolutely right. And of course, we saw in India recently that they had a huge problem with smog. And that's from traffic pollution. And of course, you know, and I've seen pollution in Karachi as well. So is this something that's being addressed? Is there any awareness of this?
There is awareness of this. People are actually, Karachi is being affected by smog, but the main adversely affected city is Lahore. So Lahore, its AQI index is just leveling up high above 400 sometimes. A month back, a month or a 1.5 month, a half and 1.5 month back, it went above 378 or 379 above level. So we had rain and it just settled down and it went back to 276, I guess, but it was at that level, it was way too high. The government needs to address that plans and bring different prospects, like people, like government has to bring some opportunities, some deals where people get EV bikes, electric bikes less than the price of the actual market, because that is the only way consumer can shift on the electric bikes from the gasoline bikes.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I think you're absolutely right. So as we start to wrap this up, I mean, what's next for you? I mean, you're working with Pack Wheels now, you're a member of this on the jury, but you still have your own blog as well. Are you going to progress that? Are you going to do more work with that?
Yes, I am going to work on that too. But right now I am focusing on my Instagram, on developing my, you know, personal brand, personal automotive brand.
Yeah, we spoke about this a little bit before, didn't we?
Yes, I got inspired from you.
Well, I mean, you know, I think it's very important to have a personal brand. I think that's key. And I think that having a presence online, particularly in terms of video, I think is a really good idea. And I think that that's also key in terms of just inspiring people. And inspiring other women and other girls to follow your footsteps, right?
Totally. It is totally. But the main restriction or obstruction over here is that people want videos and we don't have real cars to review. We don't have real cars to review often. So what videos should I post? So I'm right now posting about my knowledge. I'm just taking it slow with my own pace. So I am just usually focusing on technical stuff, on specifications, on technicalities, to show to people, to tell people that I am a person who has an authority in automotive industry.
Do you think that's a struggle? Do you think that you still encounter people that don't take you seriously because, oh, she's a girl, what does she know?
Absolutely. People are here, even in Pakistan. In Pakistan, there are a lot of people who would say that she's a girl. Why would she know about a car? And in fact, there is a percentage of reality in that. Because girls don't know over here. The girls who are not driving cars, they don't know that what is a clutch, what is a brake pedal, what is an accelerator. They don't know. They don't have general knowledge about a car. So their perception is a bit right, but when I see the international media, they're not quite as biased.
Like
patriarchal. They're not biased.
Do you think that there are more girls and women in Pakistan that would like to do what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. There are so many girls. If they won't be picking automotive as a niche, they would like to pick other niche in different technical markets or medical fields, but they would like to be covered from the social media, because social media is an attraction. And when you are entitled and honored by such a big award, people get inspired that if she is doing it, why don't we?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. Priya, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. I think what you're doing is absolutely fantastic. And I hope that, you know, you wish you more and more success. And I hope that you also inspire other people to follow in your footsteps, because I think it's you're paving the way there. I think it's absolutely brilliant. So thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today. And
thank you so much for inviting me.
Where can people find you? What's the name of your blog?
Right now, they can find me on Park Wheels. As I am doing my, I have my author page over there with Fariha Aftab, but right now I'm not focusing on my blog, but they can catch me on Instagram as She Writes Cars.
She Writes Cars. Brilliant. Yes. Brilliant. Excellent. Thank you so thank much. You. And we'll speak to you again soon, Fariha. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot. Brown
car guy. Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.